This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much for joining us as we continue our journey of creating a just society right where we are with what we have to work with. Again, I am Michael Davis, and I appreciate each and every one of you, then the work you're doing and your faithfulness to listen to this podcast. We have opened up an online presence, not just for the podcast, but for me personally speaking, giving inspiration. So we are on X. You can find us at Cruciform Love. Opening up a new ministry called Unfolding Love, and you can find us on X at Unfolding Love, and inspirational talks, short talks on Instagram, and you can find us at Unfolding Love. So hopefully you will join us there as well for ongoing education and inspiration when it comes to receiving and knowing the love of God and giving that away to others. Well, recently, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, passed away, and there's been a lot of things going on around that, the funeral, the mourning, the time of mourning, all the tributes, and today I want to add my own tribute to Pope Francis. We lost a good pope. I have appreciated all the things that God did through him. It was shocking. You're on the Easter high Sunday morning, and then Monday morning you wake up and find out he had died. I'm not going to add a lot of details of his life or anything, as many people are doing that on television and the internet, so I don't need to repeat or parrot what others are saying. But I do want to pay a tribute to him and what God did in him and through him. And I hope you'll be blessed through this, paying tribute to Pope Francis. And by the way, the recording of this podcast takes place on the very day of the beginning of the conclave. So before I came in the studio this morning, the cardinals had made their vow, or their oath rather, and entered into the chapel to begin the process of choosing the next leader of the Catholic Church. It's a touching moment for me because I've been Catholic for 10 years. Pope Francis served for 12 years. So this is my first time of seeing this whole process unfold. It's a beautiful process. And I love all the pageantry around things that the Catholic Church does. They do it with a grand drama. So it's fun, interesting, and deeply challenging to watch. We have lost an important person in the church and in the world. I am deeply saddened. I've wept over the last couple weeks. I'm deeply saddened by the loss of Pope Francis. I entered the church 2 years after he became Pope. And like him, I am a person who believes deeply in love for all and for justice. Now, a lot of people thought I became Catholic because of Pope Francis. At the time, I had a nonprofit that went out on the streets every day into the homeless camps, defended their rights, walked with them. And so a lot of people just assumed and asked me if I had become Catholic because of Pope Francis, but that's not what happened. In fact, when I was in the process of entering the church, I didn't know who the Pope even was and didn't even give it any thought. After I was confirmed as a Catholic, I thought to myself, well, now that I'm Catholic, I should see who the Pope is. And I knew nothing of Pope Francis, but as I began to read about him, I was shocked as I learned more about him. Now he has had a very profound effect and influence over the years on me. And his encyclicals, I've got his encyclicals in my personal library, and I intend to get copies of his apostolic exhortations and other things he has done. But I was deeply influenced by him more. I mean, basically, God used Pope Francis to help me go deeper into my understanding of the social teachings of the church. And so today I want to reflect on his life, his theology, and to end the episode today by reading his last public presentation. It wasn't necessarily a homily, but his last speech, if you will. But let's just reflect on his life for a moment. Again, I don't want to get into the facts about his life. Again, plenty of people are doing that, and you can easily find those on the internet. But what I want to do is reflect on his life. The things that stood out to me about Pope Francis was humility. Seeing him, that scene where he kisses, and I can't remember who it was. He kisses, has two world leaders who are opposed to each other, and he bends down on the ground, gets on his knees, bows to the ground, and kisses each of their feet. What an act of humility. And many other things he did, very humbling, not only when he was Pope, but as Archbishop, as priest. The stories that come out of, you know, him just riding the bus or the subway like anybody else, going out to the abandoned places in Argentina where there's no priest, and going and celebrating Mass for the people out on the peripherals. Very humbling to me to watch the Pope, or at that time, priest or archbishop, do that. And it's a challenge to me that as Christians, we're not to pretend or act like we're that big of a deal. Rather, we're to act in a way like Jesus Christ acted, humbling ourselves. As St. Paul says in Philippians, that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And in the English Bible, that has exclamation points at the end of that phrase, even death on a cross. In other words, God lowered himself to the lowest point possible, because humility is the very nature of God. God is not, God doesn't, I don't know how to put it this way, God doesn't have a God complex, so to speak. I'm trying to, struggling for the words, but God is a servant to his own creation. He serves us each day by feeding us and ensuring that we have what we need. Yeah, he's provider and server at the same time. And then Jesus reminds us that if we're going to enjoy this life in God, and if we're going to be true disciples of his, we have to become the servant of all. And so St. Paul says in Philippians that Jesus lowered himself. He humbled. He did not grasp onto this God complex. Even though he is in very nature God, he became human, even to the point of becoming an infant, a helpless infant. And I appreciate how Pope Francis exemplified humility so many times to us. Acceptance is another thing that I appreciate about Pope Francis, is how he taught us to accept people. You know, he never taught us to leave people where they're at, but to at least join them where they're at. And to see Pope Francis saying, you're loved, you're wanted. And to see how people responded, and people respond to love, not always because of their own woundedness, but people so often respond to love in a positive way, And when I love others and I speak truth in their life and tell them they are loved and wanted, it's amazing how they respond positively and grow from that experience. Another aspect I appreciate Pope Francis is his, well, whole joy of the gospel. That was like the mantra of his pontificate, was the joy of the gospel, that the gospel is a thing of joy. Because of the gospel, because of God becoming man, because of God coming to the abandoned and healing people, and those that are despised by society, and God brings them into the fold. Because of resurrection, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, therefore, we can have joy. We don't need to go around with somber faces. As Christians, we are to be a rejoicing people. Because life is good because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so Pope Francis reminds us of the joy of the gospel over and over again. Another thing I appreciate about him is that he was grounded in humanity, that Pope Francis wasn't some far-off papal head somewhere in a place called the Vatican that I've never been to, that I don't know if I ever will be. Who knows? Only God knows. But it's somebody that is unrelatable to me, the Pope. And he took that position and he brought it home to all of us. And he came down to the ground level where the rubber meets the road. And he met with us. Now, I never got to meet Pope Francis, but many people did. And it's the people that you would least expect to meet the Pope. But that's just who he was. And I appreciate God using him like that. He had the demeanor of Jesus in his tenderness and in his connection with the rejected. And may that be a challenge to us to connect with those who society rejects, to be with them. As Mother Teresa did, she got down into the streets and she was with the people. In fact, one of the names for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, not God over us, not certainly not God against us, but rather God among us. Wow. And Pope Francis exemplified that. So thank God for that. I want to read a few quotes from Pope Francis, and I'll read them slowly, let you reflect on them. Pope Francis said, "Embrace with tender affection the whole of humanity, especially the poorest, the weakest, the least important." Embrace with tender affection the whole of humanity, especially the poorest, the weakest, the least important. Another quote of Pope Francis is, "Love is more powerful. Love gives life. Love makes hope blossom in the wilderness." And as you go out and you create a just society right where you are, you're walking out into the wilderness of woundedness. And in that wilderness, Pope Francis reminds us that love makes hope blossom in the wilderness. And I've seen that as I walk out into the wildernesses around me and I speak love into people's life and demonstrate that love, it is amazing the light and the joy that comes to these people who are unwanted. It's a beautiful thing. Another quote from Pope Francis, "The world tells us to seek success, power, and money, but God tells us to seek humility, service, and love." If you find yourself getting caught up in the success, power, money battles of the world, remember what you're really called to, as Pope Francis reminds us, God tells us to seek humility, service, and love. Next, Pope Francis said, to change the world, we must be good to those who cannot repay us. Of course, Jesus reminds us of that in the parable of the banquet, and Jesus reminds us that we are not to invite people into our homes for dinner, so to speak, who cannot or who can repay us, but rather to invite the disabled, the homeless, those who have no ability to repay you. He said, then you'll be like your Father in heaven. So Pope Francis reminds us to change the world, we must be good to those who cannot repay us. A couple more quotes from the Pope. Pope Francis said, each one of us is called to be an artisan of peace by uniting and not dividing, by extinguishing hatred and not holding on to it, by opening paths to dialogue and not by constructing new walls. And then finally, Pope Francis said, whenever we take a step towards Jesus, we come to realize that he is already there, waiting for us with open arms. Let that be an encouragement to you. Now let's take a moment to look at Pope's theology. Certainly there was lots of controversy around Pope Francis. I had told a friend that Pope Francis angered the liberals and the conservatives, and that if he was angering the liberals and the conservatives at the same time, he must be doing something right. So there was controversy. A lot of the controversy, I want to say this, was around people only reading part of a text of what the Pope said and not the whole thing. In fact, when I would see controversy arise and see, you know, something was said, I always went right to the source, and usually I tried to find it on the Vatican's website to figure out what's the whole text of what he said. And usually once I did that, the controversy disappeared because people were just taken out of context. We got to remember that the liberal news media and the conservative news media has their own biases built in, and same with bishops. Liberal and conservative bishops in the church have their biases, and what they do is twist words of the Pope to fit their narrative. St. Peter warned us of this in the scriptures. St. Peter said that some people read Paul's writings and twist them to their own demise. You know, so as humans, we do have a history of twisting good words and making them bad. But it really wasn't Pope Francis creating the controversy. If anything he was controversial at was challenging us to the core of our being to get back to the gospel. But it really was people who didn't hear him out. You know, we got to remember Pope Francis was a Jesuit, the first Jesuit pope in history, and thus he was influenced by his Jesuit affiliation. Now, I'm not going to take time to get into Jesuit theology right now. It's wide and deep. I do attend a Jesuit parish, although I'm not a Jesuit, but I do attend a Jesuit parish here in Portland. But I think what is important to point out is that Pope Francis did not abandon central Catholic theology as many have tried to lead us to believe. He upheld many traditions and reaffirmed Catholic theology over and over again. I think that where things got messy is when people didn't realize what he was doing. He did something that people weren't used to in a pope, although with papacy of Pope John Paul II, they should have been used to it by now, because Pope John Paul II got down into the trenches and got messy at times as well with the challenges of the world. But they weren't used to a pope like Francis who radically went to the root of the gospel and challenged us to the core with it, and then he himself lived it out. So, for example, we would go into the streets of Rome. A priest was telling me the story of seeing Pope Francis very early in the morning, and he would hang out with the homeless. A priest I had a few years ago, he said he had taken a trip to Rome, and he told me that the driver was taking him around very early in the morning where there was barely any light, and he saw a man and some homeless over on the side of the road, and the priest couldn't quite make it out, and he asked the driver what's going on over there, and he said, oh, that's Pope Francis. He comes out early in the mornings and hangs out with the homeless in the streets. So, you know, we're not used to a Pope who does that. That's controversial because it challenges us out of our box, so to speak. We struggled to know what to do with a Pope who took the gospel so seriously that he went to the margins to live it out. His theology was Catholic to the core, but what he did was took it to the streets and took it to the margins of society and dared us to join him. So, finally, I want to end by reading his last public speech, if you will. It's his final address. It wasn't a homily, but more of an address. And this was it, the Sunday before he died, on Easter Sunday. I'm going to read the whole text. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Dear brothers and sisters, happy Easter. Today at last, the singing of the Alleluia is heard once more in the church, passing from mouth to mouth, from heart to heart, and this makes the people of God throughout the world shed tears of joy. From the empty tomb in Jerusalem, we hear unexpected good news. Jesus, who was crucified, is not here. He has risen. Luke 24:5. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is alive. Love has triumphed over hatred, light over darkness, and truth over falsehood. Forgiveness has triumphed over revenge. Evil has not disappeared from history. It will remain until the end, but it no longer has the upper hand. It no longer has power over those who accept the grace of this day. Sisters and brothers, especially those of you experiencing pain and sorrow, your silent cry has been heard and your tears have been counted. No one of them has been lost. In the passion and death of Jesus, God has taken upon himself all the evil in this world and in his infinite mercy has defeated it. He has uprooted the diabolical pride that poisons the human heart and wreaks violence and corruption on every side. The Lamb of God is victorious. That is why today we can joyfully cry out, Christ, my hope, has risen. The resurrection of Jesus is indeed the basis of our hope, for in the light of this event, hope is no longer an illusion. Thanks to Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, hope does not disappoint. Spes non confundit, Romans 5:5. That hope is not an evasion, but a challenge. It does not delude, but empowers us. All those who put their hope in God place their feeble hands in his strong and mighty hand. They let themselves be raised up and set out on a journey together with the risen Jesus. They become pilgrims of hope, witnesses of the victory of love and of the disarmed power of life. Christ is risen. These words capture the whole meaning of our existence, for we were not made for death, but for life. Easter is the celebration of life. God created us for life and wants the human family to rise again. In his eyes, every life is precious. The life of a child in the mother's womb, as well as the lives of the elderly and the sick, who in more and more countries are looked upon as people to be discarded. What a great thirst for death, for killing we witness each day in the many conflicts raging in different parts of our world. How much violence we see, how even within families directed at women and children, how much contempt is stirred up at times towards the vulnerable, the marginalized, and migrants. On this day, I would like all of us to hope anew and to revive our trust in others, including those who are different than ourselves or who come from distant lands, bringing unfamiliar customs, ways of life, and ideas, for all of us are children of God. I would like us to renew our hope that peace is possible. From the Holy Sepulchre, the Church of the Resurrection, where this year Easter is being celebrated by Catholics and Orthodox on the same day, may the light of peace radiate throughout the Holy Land and the entire world. I express my closeness to the sufferings of Christians in Palestine and Israel, and to all the Israeli people and the Palestinian people. The growing climate of anti-Semitism throughout the world is worrisome. Yet at the same time, I think of the people of Gaza and its Christian community in particular, where the terrible conflict continues to cause death and destruction and to create a dramatic and deplorable humanitarian situation. I appeal to the warring parties. Call a ceasefire. Release the hostages and come to the aid of a starving people that aspires to a future of peace. Let us pray for the Christian communities in Lebanon and in Syria, presently experiencing a delicate transition in its history. They aspire to stability and to the participation in the life of their respective nations. I urge the whole church to keep the Christians of the beloved Middle East in its thoughts and prayers. I also think in particular of the people of Yemen who are experiencing one of the world's most serious and prolonged humanitarian crisis because of war, and I invite all to find solutions through a constructive dialogue. May the risen Christ grant Ukraine, devastated by war, his Easter gift of peace, and encourage all parties involved to pursue efforts aimed at achieving a just and lasting peace. On this festive day, let us remember the South Caucasus and pray that a final peace agreement between Armenia and Azerbaijan, I assume that's how it's pronounced, will soon be signed and implemented and lead to a long-awaited reconciliation in the region. May the light of Easter inspire efforts to promote harmony in the Western Balkans and sustain political leaders in their efforts to allay tensions and crisis, and together with their partner countries in the region to reject dangerous and disestablishing or destabilizing actions. May the risen Christ, our hope, grant peace and consolation to the African people who are victims of violence and conflict, especially in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, in Sudan, and South Sudan. May he sustain those suffering from the tensions in the Sahel, the Horn of Africa, and the greater Great Lakes region, as well as those Christians who in many places are not able freely to profess their faith. There can be no peace without freedom of religion, freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and respect to the view of others. Nor is peace possible without true disarmament. The requirement that every people provide for its own defense must not turn into a race to rearmament. The light of Easter impels us to break down the barriers that create division and are fraught with grave political and economic consequences. It impels us to care for one another, to increase our mutual solidarity, and to work for the integral development of each human person. During this time, let us not fail to assist the people of Myanmar, plagued by long years of armed conflict, who, with courage and patience, are dealing with the aftermath of the devastating earthquake in Sagaing, which caused the death of thousands and great suffering for many survivors, including orphans and the elderly. We pray for the victims of their loved ones, and we heartily thank all the generous volunteers carrying out the relief operations. The announcement of a ceasefire by various actors in the country is a sign of hope for the whole of Myanmar. I appeal to all those in positions of political responsibility in our world to not yield to the logic of fear, which only leads to isolation from others, but rather to use the resources available to help the needy, to fight hunger, and to encourage initiatives that promote development. These are the weapons of peace, weapons that build the future instead of sowing seeds of death. May the principle of humanity never fail to be the hallmark of our daily actions. In the face of the cruelty of conflicts that involve defenseless civilians and attack schools, hospitals, and humanitarian workers, we cannot allow ourselves to forget that it is not targets that are struck, but persons, each possessed of a soul and human dignity. In this Jubilee year, may Easter also be a fitting occasion for the liberation of prisoners of war and political prisoners. Dear brothers and sisters, in the Lord's Paschal mystery, death and life contended in a stupendous struggle, but the Lord now lives forever. He fills us with the certainty that we too are called to share in the life that knows no end, when the clash of arms and the rumble of death will be heard no more. Let us entrust ourselves to Him, for He alone can make all things new. Revelation 21:5. Happy Easter to everyone. And there you go, the final public address of Pope Francis. I talk a lot about creating a just society right where we are. Well, Pope Francis did just that. Where he was the entire world. But wherever he went, he worked tirelessly to create a just society, whether it was among opposing political leaders or on the streets. May we truly reflect on the life of Pope Francis and consider, like him, how we might work tirelessly to bring people together, even people who oppose each other, how we might work to bring peace, unity, love, and joy as we create a just society right where we are. Pope Francis, pray for us.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.